Blog Talk Radio.
Zion.
Hey yo, Ren, turn that up.
Only a few of us gonna make it out. Only your remnant. When is my people gonna learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people return. Only your remnant. When is my people gon' learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people return. Only your remnant. We at the end and we feeling it. We the sand of the sea but a remnant. Serve return to the word when they hearing it. We the sons of Israel. All the word will never fail. Baptizing in Jacob's well. Holy Spirit ain't playing for real. Will you get protected? He's sending them plagues. I'm trying to make sure that he's seeing rain. All in my life, all in my head, all in my walk, all in my legs. You don't got that blood, you walking dead. Walk as he walk, we should live what it say. Only your remnant gonna be spared. Only your remnant gonna be spared. Abba gon' get us out of these countries. Abba son, let me see who really want me. Forsaking our houses, forsaking our money. We got that signal from heaven, he coming. Drinking his cup, nobody running. Flesh getting weak, but the spirit is gunning. We see the prophecy, we know he coming. We see the prophecy, we know he coming, but it's only your remnant, 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 only your remnant. When is my people gonna learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take of the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people return. Only your remnant. Only your remnant. When is my people gon' learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take of the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people return.
That's how my heart yearns for you. And the sun he died for you. Yes, it's true, yes, it's true. You didn't have no clue. That's because nobody told you. They couldn't afford to. Cause you monkey like you Goku. It ain't like nobody owed you. We broke the law and they sold you. We did this all to ourselves, Jacob. Now it's the time that you know the truth. You don't know you so, so special. You don't even see what's next, though. So we cry. Only remnants gonna make it out of here alive. Please repent, my people, cause we at the end of time.
Only your remnant. When is my people gon' learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take of the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people return. Only your remnant. When is my people gon' learn? If you don't come back, you gon' burn. We take of the scriptures confirm. It's time for my people return. It's time for my people return.
All right. Shalom, everybody. Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I am your host, Micah Israel. And, here we go, another episode. And I got a little treat to add on to our past posts, shows. We was into the Maccabees, and we have read all the way from first chapter to the, we finished the sixth chapter. Maccabees, and today we'll be hitting on chapter 7. Hopefully we can do 7 and 8, but we'll see what happens. I got a little treat, though. I got a little insight on what we've been reading from, you know, a more scholarly source, you know. You know, I'm just kind of just listening around, and as far as the folks who got something to say about, you know, the Book of Maccabees, they couldn't do it in under 20 minutes. And all of them was like an hour and a half, so, you know. But what I can do is give you my little take on it, and then we'll probably play the clip of this guy kind of speaking on it. And we can just dive right back on in, you know, with a better, clearer understanding. The last show in reading the Book of Maccabees, I ran across a little stumbling block. It kind of seemed like a mysterious king kind of came out of nowhere and conquered Philip, all right? And just to, you know, kind of remind you guys, those who just tuned in, Philip was the guy who, King Antiochus, you know, I believe is his name, but hey, don't quote me on that. I'm not good with these names. I've been reading in the scriptures, but I'm trying. But I believe his name was Antiochus. Anyway, so when he died, he, you know, his ring, his crown to Philip, all right? And he told Philip to look out for his son, Junior, Antiochus Jr., who was at the time around by like 5 or 7 years old or something. He's real young. So you look after his son and make sure his son become king when he's old enough. You know what I'm saying? And so that agreement happened. However, Lysias back in Israel, for the folks who just tuning in, let me just do that before I kind of dive on you. We're reading the Book of Maccabees. Now, what is the Maccabees? All right. The Apocrypha, he has the Old Testament. The Apocrypha went right in the middle between Old Testament and New Testament. All those books out of our Bible. You know, right in the heart of our Bible, just the guts. Right? Took it right out. And the books that made our canon can show you a clear, you know, little kind of touch on the journey that we went through, the captivities of Israel, and all the way to the gospel and Christ, you know, and some prophecies, the prophets. And they felt like that was good enough, right? And anything else you want to know about Israel, you got to go to an outsource, go to the library and get his own little book, you know, the Apocrypha. You know what I'm saying? That's what they decided. In other words, they consider these lost books as just extra biblical writings of the Israelites. It's, you know, if you want to know about the gospel, go to the regular canon. These books, you know, is well, they feel like it's it just talks about Israel's ups and downs. You know what I'm saying? Their battles and things they have to come, you know, overcome. You know, things that happened during slavery and captivity and just war, right? And so they took all that stuff out the Bible and just gave us, you know, our normal canon that we see today. So by default, when you're reading our Bible, it goes from the Old Testament, right, to the, it ends with the Persian, Medes, you know, King Darius, let the Israel go back to their homeland and things like that. And then it jumps, skips, all the way to the Roman occupation. Right, and then and Christ was born, and they under Roman rules and all of that. But what you don't know is there was an enslavement captivity before Rome. All right, and that was the Greek Empire. So basically, the Bible skips over about 600, 700 years worth of information before we even get to Christ. It just skips right over it and goes straight, dive right into Christ, right? So, And some will say it's not a big deal if what the gist of what we need to know about Christ and the gospel and making to heaven is in our canon, then it's not a big deal. Well, I mean, I understand you. I can feel where you're coming from on that. But my point is that when I believe I'm a Hebrew Israelite, and one thing I want to do is know about any and every single thing about it, right, about Israel. And so that's what this journey is. That's what I'm doing on my show. I'm reading the Book of Maccabees on my show for the listener to, because millions of people have never even read this book before, right? It's in the Ethiopian Bibles, all right, the Apocrypha, and a whole bunch of laundry list of other books that we probably never even heard of. It's inside the Ethiopian Bible, right? It's just our canon. Over here in America, we just ain't got that, right? So it's a lot we don't know or understand, and we feel lost. And so I'm just kind of shining the light in a dark place, man, and I'm on this journey, and I want y'all to tag along with me. Feel free to call the number for questions or comments or anything like that. That number is 563-999-3490. That's 563-999-3490. So, any comments or questions, anything, call the number. Without further ado, let me check my call board. All right. We got Brother Ronald in the house. Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
All right. Good to have you with us, brother. Yes, sir. I'm all right. You've been missing in action, man. So glad you called in today. But it's all good. I'm glad you're here today. You know what I'm saying? Today, well, I'll be probably reading in the Book of Maccabees. Unless you got something else that's on your mind and heart, man, feel free to share it with us, man.
Okay.
All right. Just kind of let me know, and we'll hit on that if there's something, in particular. Right now, I'm just kind of doing a little studying on the show. I'm studying and I'm learning. On the show, I'm making my show about that journey of mine, basically. That's the reason why I'm reading Maccabees. Okay? I'm just kind of learning myself. So, without further ado, man. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get started and reading. I'm gonna mute your line, and I'm gonna read try to read the whole chapter, and then every chapter we're gonna take a little break and do a little reflecting. You know what I'm saying? All right. Unless we get another caller in, then we'll take the questions from the caller or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? And we'll just go from there. All right. All right. Okay, so here we go, man. I'm going to put you on hold. All right, and now I'm going to open it on up. Okay, now we're starting at Maccabees chapter 7. we're going to dive right back on into it, man. I'm going to read this chapter, and then we're going to take a little break. And you know what, Brother Ronald? I think I'm going to go ahead and play this little clip before I start reading. It's just an overview of Maccabees and things like that. You feel me? I think it'll probably be more helpful if I play that clip, then start reading. You know what I'm saying? So we all can kind of follow along together. Okay, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right quick. All right. We'll put you on hold on there, and let me find that clip And I'll just play that clip. Bam.
I want to talk about the first book of Maccabees. That means 16 chapters full of fighting for the freedom of Israel and for the freedom of religion against foreign oppression. So for Catholics, it's part of their Bible. For Greek Orthodox, it's part of the Bible. And it's a little bit part of the Bible for the Lutherans and Protestants as well, but not in the same sense as for the other Christian traditions. And it's not part of the Jewish Bible, although within the Jewish world, the Maccabees are very famous. And this brings us already to this question, who are the Maccabees, who gave this book the name? And actually, there's not just one book of Maccabees, but four. And in some part of Christian Bibles, you have all four books of the Maccabees, and some you have only the first two.
One Maccabees, so the first book of Maccabees.
The Maccabees, who are these Maccabees?
Maccabees is represents these people, this family, who stood up against certain reforms that were going on, whereby people wanted to make Jerusalem more like the countries surrounding it.
And the name Maccabees is derived from the nickname of the most important figure of this family called Judas, and he has a kind of nickname, and this was Maccabees. And it's not very completely clear what it means, but often it's interpreted as hammer. So Judas the hammerer, so this is a kind of warrior name, Warhammer, you can call him. So Judas Warhammer. And he was the first leader in a fight against the foreign oppressors of the people of Israel in the second century. And when we talk about the Maccabees and Judas Maccabeus, we are in the time of the second century BCE, before Christ. And that means we are still living in a period where Israel is part of Eastern Empire. So the power are still in the East. So the Assyrians first, then the Babylonians, then the Persians, all Eastern empires. And Israel is in a way on the border to the West. And now there's a dramatic change in the beginning of First Maccabees mentioned this, because First Maccabees starts with Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great is the one who in a way moved the biblical world from east to west.
So Alexander the Great came through and brought what might be called Hellenization, Greekization, throughout this part of the world.
So he started in Macedonia, in nowadays Greece or Macedonia, and then conquered the whole east, including Israel, Egypt, and make his way via Afghanistan to the borders of India.
The big baddie in 1 Maccabees is Antiochus Epiphanes, and he is one of the later successors of Alexander the Great.
The book gives in the first chapter a kind of overview about the situation and describes how Jews who want to be faithful to their traditions and to their religion, that means to keep the Torah, that means the commandments given by God to Moses, who want to continue with circumcision and so on and keep the Jewish festivals, they were oppressed and persecuted, and for the first time Jews have to die for their religion. So you have the first martyrs for the Jewish religion.
In that situation, Antiochus Epiphanes did some things that were interpreted as being awful and a direct challenge to the God of Israel. So one of the things that he was interpreted as attacking is the temple.
He tried to force all inhabitants of Judea into this new pattern of religion. That means to follow a kind of pagan practice in religion.
1 Maccabees tells the story of these people who stood up to those reforms. It's the family of Mattathias. So Mattathias is the father, and then he's got a bunch of sons who stand up against Antiochus Epiphanes and what he represents.
And he sent his commissaires to all the villages that they had to do public offerings for the Greek gods. And this Matatias, this father of five and a priest, and he refused, he killed these messengers of the Seleucid king, and then together with his sons and followers who want to be faithful to the traditional law, retreated into the desert and started a guerrilla warfare against the Seleucids.
Most of the time is spent talking about Judas. So Judas Maccabeus, you might have heard of. It's an interesting story. There are different Jewish responses to what Antiochus Epiphanes has done. Some people want to run away and hide, and they're presented as being, that's not the best option. The best option is to stay and fight for the Lord's law, the Torah, and the Lord's temple. One interesting turning point here happens relatively early on when the people decide, well, we're not going to fight on the Sabbath because that's our day of rest that the Lord has commanded in the Torah, so we're not going to fight on the Sabbath. When that happens, those people who've decided not to fight all get killed. And so those who are left see this and they decide, all right, that didn't work. We're allowed to fight on the Sabbath. And so that's an interesting turning point, I think, because they've come to the conclusion that in order to preserve the Torah, they have to disobey the Torah.
So the Book of Maccabees was written around 100 BCE when the Hasmoneans, so the descendants of these Maccabees, were actually kings in Jerusalem, so they maintained a kingdom similar to the one of King David in the glorious past of Israel. And his idea is clearly expressed in the book that God has chosen this family to redeem his people. And so the book, First Maccabees, is more or less a book about three generations. So the father, these five brothers, and then the grandson of Matatias, all are willing to give up their lives, all are willing to fight for the people of Israel, and so God has chosen them, and they are those who shall rule the Jewish people. So it's clearly propaganda in favor of this new dynasty.
An interesting thing about holy war is this idea that in order to obey God and to preserve God's honor, we have to slightly disobey him.
The Maccabees and the term Maccabee is quite omnipresent, so to speak, in the Israeli and Jewish society. If you are watching football in Israel, you will have Maccabi Haifa and Maccabi Tel Aviv, two famous teams playing in the first Israeli division. And their name Maccabi actually goes back to the Maccabees. And also the most famous beer in Israel is called the Maccabee beer.
Okay, I guess that was the end of that.
All right.
Let's see. Open your line there, Brother Ronald. All right. What you think about the clip, so, what was said in the clip?
Oh, that was very interesting.
All right. Yeah. The one thing that kind of stood out, what he was talking about, they had to break the law in order to fight. He didn't go deep down into it, but what it is that on the Sabbath, you know, we rest. But the enemy, if we're at war with someone, we can't rest. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Or that'll just, yeah, they'll just come in and just kill us all. You know what I'm saying? So that's what that was all about. So when the enemy raised up his head, well, you know, we pulled out them swords, man. You know what I'm saying? They ain't finna just kill us easy like that. So that's what that was about right there. So without further ado, let me go and get the reading. I know you just kind of tuning in, Brother Ronald, but I'm in chapter 7, and they already started to revolt. And I can quickly kind of give you the rundown. It all starts with a king, Antiochus, or something like that. And hold on. Well, I think I already, the opening statement when I started up, I kind of shed a little light on where we're at already, I think. But, yeah, we're at that point where they kind of made peace at the end, but then he broke it when he tore down the walls of the temple as he went back into his kingdom, all right, into what I want to say modern-day Iraq, Babylon area, all right, with his elephants and all of that. So that's where we're at right now, man. And without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get started reading. All right? All right. I'm going to put you back on hold. Okay. Here we go. Chapter 7. Let me clear my throat. In the 150th year. Okay, so 151. Demetrius, the son of Seleucus, departed from Rome and came up with a few men unto a city of the sea coast and reigned there. Okay. As he entered into the palace of his ancestors, so it was that his forces had taken Antiochus and Lysias to bring them unto him. Wherefore, when he knew it, he said, "Let me not see their faces." So his host slew them. Now when Demetrius was set upon the throne of his kingdom, there came unto him all the wicked and ungodly men of Israel, having Alcmaeus, who was desirous to be high priest for the captain. Okay, let me pause right there. Okay, Demetrius. Demetrius is the brother of Antiochus, okay? So basically he killed the guy in charge and his nephew. Okay, I gotta say this, man. Alexander the Great, he was the king. He came through and he conquered a huge territory, man. A huge territory, and he set up areas, garrisons, you know what I'm saying, to protect his borders. All right? Now, once Alexander the Great died, he left everything to four generals, right? And those four generals put crowns upon their heads. So now all his territory was sliced up four areas. Now, one of those kings or descendants of those generals decided to take over another general's territory. So that way he have two, right? All right, and that was Antiochus, okay? He was the one that invaded another king's territory, all right, and sent them off running. Okay. Now, and why he did that is during the time that the whole Maccabees thing started happening. Now, when he did that, all of a sudden the Maccabees start getting their groups together, fighting back, things like that. And he decided to go get some more money to fund the army to go get rid of this problem. So he went into the territory of the general that he done took and over, right? And when he got to Persia, which is part of that territory, those people was waiting on him. And they fought back. They wanted to revolt during the same time the Maccabees are revolting. They're revolting. And they pushed him back, right? He couldn't conquer them to get that treasure, that temple with the gold and silver that Alexander kind of left there. They fought back, and they overtook him, okay? So he fell back to Iraq, right? And he's sitting there trying to regroup, lick his wounds, when he gets this word in that back in Israel, the Maccabees were winning battles over there, all right? So all of a sudden, he was so upset that he fell sick, and then he died. Now, before he died, he left this guy named Philip in charge, okay? All right, he told Philip to bring up his young son to be king in his place, all right? Now, back at home, he left another guy in charge that was dealing with the Maccabees. This guy is Lysias, right? Now, so Lysias is going back and forth with the Maccabees, and then when he heard that the king died, he went over there and killed Philip, okay? He killed Philip and got Antioch, his son, and he's going to raise his son up to be king because Philip, apparently he didn't trust Philip, you know what I'm saying? That Philip was just going to reign there in his stead, you know? You know what I'm saying? And build up an army there. So he went and killed Philip. And so that's kind of like where we at right now. And so the other two kings that are over to the left over Rome and all that area that Greek also occupied, this is the brother of Antiochus, okay? And so here he is, he coming into the picture in chapter 7. And what we just read is that when he looked at the whole situation, he didn't want to see their faces, or he was upset on the whole situation, and he killed Lycus and his nephew that was going to be king, you know, instead of, you know. And this Demetrius is the brother of Antiochus, okay? So, yeah, so basically his brother died, and he's looking at the whole situation his brother done kind of got into or whatever. And he just upset that he'll take over everything, I guess. And he ended up killing Lycus and that 7-year-old boy, which is his nephew, okay? All right. Now that I said that, let me put you – okay, you're already on hold. Okay. So now that I said that, let me go ahead and to the back to the book. Okay, we had verse. Let me just start over. In the 150th year, Demetrius, the son of Seleucus, departed from Rome and came up with a few men unto the city of the seacoast and reigned there. As he entered into the palace of his ancestors, so it was that his forces had taken Antiochus and Lysias to bring them unto him. Wherefore, when he knew it, he said, "Let me not see their faces." So his host slew them. Now, when Demetrius was set upon the throne of his kingdom, there came unto him all the wicked and ungodly men of Israel, having Eclemius, who was desirous to be high priest for their captain. And they accused the people to the king, saying, "Judas and his brethren have slain all thy friends and driven us out of our land. Now, therefore, send a man whom thou truest, who thou trustest, and let him go and see what havoc he have made amongst us and in the king's land, and let him punish them with all them that aid them." King chose Bacchida, a friend of the king, who ruled beyond the flood and was a great man in the kingdom and faithful to the king. And him he sent with that wicked Eclemius, whom he had made high priest, and commanded that he should take vengeance of the children of Israel. So they departed and came with a great power into the land of Judea, where they sent messengers to Judas and his brethren with peaceable words, deceitfully. But they gave no heed to their words, for they saw that they were come with a great power. Then did there assemble unto Eclemius and Bacchida a company of scribes to require justice. Now the Assyrians were the first among the children of Israel that sought peace of this. For said they, "One that is a priest of the seed of Aaron is come with this army, and he will do us no wrong." So he spake unto them peaceably, and swear unto them, saying, "We will procure the harm neither of you nor your friends." Whereupon they believed him, albeit he took of them 70 men and slew them in one day, according to the words which he wrote, "The flesh of thy saints have they cast out, and their blood have they shed round about Jerusalem." and there was none to bury them. Wherefore the fear and dread of them fell upon all the people who said, there is neither truth nor righteousness in them, for they have broken the covenant and oath that they made. After this, removed Bacchides from Jerusalem and pitched his tent in Bethea, where he sent and took many of the men that had forsaken him, and certain of the people also. And when he had slain them, he cast them into the great pit. Then committed he the country to Aquemius, and left with him a power to aid him. So Bacchides went to the king. But Aquemius contended for the high priesthood, and unto him restored it all such as troubled the people, who after they have gotten the land of Judah into their power, did much hurt in Israel. Now when Judah saw all the mischief that Aquemius and his company had done among the Israelites, even above the heathen, he went out into the coast of Judea round about and took vengeance of them that had revolted from him, so that they durst no more go forth into the country. On the other side, when Aquemius saw that Judas and his company had gotten the upper hand and knew that he was not able to abide their force, he went again to the king and said all the worst of them that he could. Then the king sent Nicanor, one of his honorable princes, a man that barely deadly hate upon Israel, a man that bare deadly hate unto Israel, with commandment to destroy the people. Okay, so I take it this is a bad joker, and he hate Israelites to the bone. Okay, so Nicanor came to Jerusalem with a great force and sent unto Judas and his brethren deceitfully with friendly words, saying, let there be no battle between me and you. I will come with a few men that I may see you in peace. He came therefore to Judas, and they saluted one another peaceably. Howbeit the enemies were prepared to take away Judas by violence, which thing after it was known to Judas, to wit that he came unto him with deceit, he was sore afraid of him and would see his face no more. Nicanor also, when he saw that his counsel was discovered, went out to fight against Judas besides Caphesalion, where there were slain of Nicanor's side about 5,000 men, and the rest fled into the city of David. After this went Nicanor up to Mount Zion, and there came out of the sanctuary certain of the priests and certain of the elders of the people to salute him peaceably, and to shew him the burnt sacrifice that was offered for the king. He mocked them and laughed at him and abused them shamefully and spake proudly and swore in his wrath, saying, unless Judas and his host be now delivered into my hands, if ever I come again in safety, I will burn up this house. And with that, he went out in a great rage. Then the priest entered in and stood before the altar and temple, weeping and saying, thou, O Lord, didst choose this house to be called by thy name, and to be a house of prayer and petition for thy people. Be avenged of this man and his host, and let them fall by the sword. Remember their blasphemies, and suffer them not to continue any longer. So Nicanor went out of Jerusalem and pitched his tent in Bethoron, where a host out of Syria met him. But Judas pitched in Adassa with 3,000 men, and there he prayed, saying, O Lord, when they that were sent from the king of the Assyrians blasphemed, thine angel went out and smote 185,000 of them. Even so destroy thou this host before us this day, that the rest may know that he hath spoken blasphemously against the sanctuary, and judge thou him according to his wickedness. So the 13th day of the month Adar, the host joined battle, but Nicanor's host was discomfited, and he himself was first slain in the battle. Now, when Nicanor's host saw that he was slain, they cast away their weapons and fled. Then they pursued after them a day's journey from Adassa unto Gazaria, found an alarm after them with their trumpets. Whereupon they came forth out of all the towns of Judea round about and closed them in, so that they, turning back upon them that pursued them, were all slain with the sword, and not one of them was left. Afterwards they took the spoils and the prey and smote off Nicanor's head and his right hand, which he stretched out so proudly, and brought them away and hanged them up toward Jerusalem. For this cause the people rejoiced greatly, and they kept that day a day of great gladness. Moreover, they ordained to keep yearly this day, being the 13th of Adar. Okay, that's the month of Adar. I don't know what month that is, but a 13th day of the month of Adar. Thus the land of Judah was in rest a little while. Okay, that's all of chapter 7. Okay, that's all of chapter 7. So let me go and get the input from you. All right, Brother Ronald, your mic is open. All right, so
yes,
you think about what I read so far, man?
Oh, that's very interesting.
I
never read this book before, but I'm trying to get familiar with it. So I never read the Maccabees.
Yeah, when
but,
I tell you the truth, I read it long, long time ago.
So you said,
yeah, I read it.
Alexander the Great was a king at this time.
Yeah, he already reigned and died. Yeah, he didn't reign and died already. Alexander the Great had already done his thing already.
Oh, okay, okay. Is that is that how we got America? When his kingdom split up, that's how America came into play, right?
America didn't come until hundreds of years later.
Okay.
Okay. After
you say when he died, his kingdom was split up, right?
Yeah, four generals.
Four generals took over? Okay.
Yeah. Now, when you talk about America, that means after the Greek, they reigned for 350 years. The Greek Empire. After the Greeks, the Roman Empire started. And the Roman Empire lasted, I want to say about 700 years. Let me Google that.
Wow, that's what I'm saying.
How long did the Roman Empire last? Okay. From 625 B.C. to the fall of 476 A.D. So it's over 1,000 years. Over 1,000 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
Okay. Right. But during that 1,000 years, they didn't have, they didn't have all the Greek territory under control. You know what I'm saying? We're going to read about the battle with the Greek Empire, okay? And then they had their little scrimmage or whatever, and automatically Rome kind of made treaties with everybody that was in the Greek Empire. And it's over time that they regained all of the whatever Greek they took it over time. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, over time. They didn't just get it all instantly. And so their borders, Roman borders was bigger than the Greeks' borders because of the way they did business and the way they, you know, the way they governed themselves. It wasn't so relentless like the Greeks was, you know. So a lot of people, after a while, they was, you know, happy that you know, to do business with Rome. You see what I'm saying? Because Rome was producing a lot of money and stuff. But don't get me wrong, everybody wasn't happy. I'm just saying that it became like the norm from the way they kind of carried themselves. But they got stretched so thin that when they start fighting each other on the inside, that's really how Rome fell from the inside out. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't an outside force that came and fought against them. It was all the people on the inside was fighting against each other. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it ended at the end of the day, you know. Kind of like how you see it in America, how we got the president in the number one seat, and then we got, you know, the governors and the senators, you know what I'm saying, and the mayors of their little towns and stuff. Well, if those senators start fighting against each other, like the Republican and the Democrats, they split up in those two sides. And then before you know it, two Democrats are fighting. And then a Republican and a Democrat is fighting. And, you know, all this chaos start going down. You can basically put it in that type of words, right? You know, that right there happened. And that's what ended up destroying the whole country because nobody, you know, didn't want to do no business no more. And it was so much civil wars going down. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Uh-huh. So when Rome became vulnerable, that's when they start getting hit by outside attacks. So,
right.
Yeah.
And you know, the Bible talks about the little horn.
Go ahead.
You know, the Bible talks about the little horn in Revelation.
Yes.
You know the little horn is Rome, right? Because the Bible said Rome was wounded, but it's gonna come back to life in these last days again. You read that?
Okay. Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That little horn is wrong. It was just wounded. It wasn't completely destroyed. It was just wounded. It says in Revelation.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't know if you read that before or not. Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
I don't know if you read that before. Okay. I would have shared that with you.
Uh-huh. Okay, gotcha. Okay, well, we read chapter 7, and, yeah, you're right. That little horn was Rome. You know, when Rome fell, it kind of got chopped up in 10 little pieces. And those 10 little pieces, which is the toes of that statue, that's who basically Rome, you know, came back to life. And so when you look at the British Empire... Okay, go ahead.
Is America included in it? In the ten toes?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So definitely that. Yeah, we're the number one superpower as of right now. So I would say, yeah,
right.
We're definitely one of those toes. You all right? And so is Great Britain. And so is, you know, a whole bunch of other folks, you know. They're all part of those 10 toes. So, yeah. So that's what's up with that. That's the connection there with America and Rome. All right. So let me go. Hold on. let me see what the time is. We about right at the top of the hour. Let's go ahead and take a little break, brother. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to play a good song, man, for the moment. I'm thinking about that Brother Bronze again. I love that song, man. All right, let me play that. Put you on hold right there, and let me play that. I hope y'all enjoy it.
I'm on.
And I can't repeat the crazy things my eyes have seen. Dropping down on my knees, cries of grief, have mercy on me.
By demons in tune with the spiritual realm, the higher kept me breathing.
I would die.
Cause I was his and they couldn't cheat him. They say I had imaginary friends, but I really used to see him. Ghetto born, ghetto raised, food stamps, Walter Gerber. Exposed to corruption, the drugs and the gang murders. Baddest stuff ever, I led with my left hand. First sign of the zodiac, glad it's all wicked man. An evil thinker and professional cheater. You didn't want me as an enemy, I find a way to sneak ya. But praise the higher, I've been on this straight and narrow here. Man, I ain't did a lick of dirt in about 7 years. 7 years, 7 years.
I can't repeat the crazy things my eyes have seen. Dropping down on my knees, five to three, have mercy on me.
Never clutch, came up out of unscathed. All praise to a higher in the name of Yeshua, redeeming your son. I know if it wasn't your will, I would have been done. I should have been done, perished in the dew of the night, or in that concrete sin with 25 to life. Now I'm surrounded by Hebrews, we thriving and working, sustaining through these tribulations, and I don't deserve it. I'm being cradled by your hands to catch me in the zone. I don't care what you do to me, just don't leave me alone. Give you the glory when I'm right and repent when I'm wrong. Your people drawn to your music, they know it ain't just a song. Stitches and broken bones, I done struggled so long. My heart been through the meat grinding, but I still can put a smile on. Facing the east, thanking you for the increase. Can't wait to fall into your arms and just weep, yeah.
And I can't repeat the crazy things my eyes have seen. Dropping down on my knees, Father, please have mercy on me.
In my life, 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 in my
force, man, I don't get it. Messiah, whom the world ignorantly calls Jesus. He left a final message for us before he left, for his people. Not for no Christians, though that's how the Western church be trying to flip it, like he was talking to any of y'all loose individual that got some personal problems. No, he was talking to his nation. He was talking to his people by blood.
St. John 15 and 18.
If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Bang, that's why they hate us, because they hated him.
If you were of the world would love his own.
That's why they don't love us. That's why the system is set up for us to fail. That's why we fill up the jail, and the injustice is channeled toward us. Who sent us the guns and the drugs and made us thugs? Them. Who caused separation between us and fueled the fire for us to gangbang? Them. Our gangs were started to help and protect our communities, but who infiltrated and instigated and pit us against each other? Them. Who's shooting us down in the streets for nothing? Them. That's why they shut us out their workforce, their school. That's why when something come up missing, it's our fault we stole it. That's why they treat us like they do. We are that nation not desired. We are not of the world. This world does not love us. He gonna tell us why. Look.
But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world.
That's why, because he chose us. From the beginning, we came in his skin of his nation.
Therefore, the world hates you.
Bang. That's why they hate us. It ain't because of those other reasons they lead us to believe. It's because we are the chosen people of the Most High in Christ.
Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
Didn't they slander and false accuse him? Ain't they doing that to you? Got you standing up in these courtrooms eating you alive, falsely? They hung him on a cross which was wood and came from a tree. Then they stopped making those crosses, but they didn't stop hanging you on trees, did they? I'm just saying, they was hanging us, right? You got to connect these dots, family. They did that to us because that's what they did to him.
If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also.
Now some of them gonna keep our saying and follow us after this truth. Shout out to all the Gentiles out there that's heeding the study, rocking with Israel, following after Israel.
But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake.
It's all because of him, Mama. They hate him. They hate his skin. So they painted pictures and changed it. They hated his hair. So they painted him pictures with long blonde hair like theirs. Right? With no shame they did this.
Why? Because they know not him who sent me.
Because they don't know Ahai. They don't know our God. They changed his name too. Hid his identity too. Did away with the things that he commanded us to do too. Jump down to 25.
But this cometh to pass.
But the time will come and go where it was.
That the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law.
He is the word. He is the law. He is the word spoken by the prophet. You cannot separate the two.
They hated me without cause.
They hated him for nothing.
But when the comforter has come,
after all this, in the last days, when the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, when she come to us, what?
Whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth.
Bang, when we wake back up and the truth come, what?
Which proceeded from the Father. He the Father shall testify of me.
Bang, the Holy Spirit will reveal all the secrets that they kept from us. His skin, his head, who his nation is, who he came to say, and who he commanded them to say. Why we had it so hard in this world, all that. Yeshua is the center of all that.
And he shall bear witness.
And in finding this truth, we will become spokesmen of it and spread it to the four corners of the earth, waking our people up.
Because ye have been with me from the beginning.
We've been with him from the very beginning. Nothing was made in his absence. He was there from the beginning, when water was formed, when the earth was made, when our forefather Adam was formed. He stood alongside of the Father and helped to create all things. We are the people he chose from the beginning. We are the people he came to save.
Matthew 15:24.
But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why we done had it so hard in this world. Wake up with it.
All right, all right. Okay, well, we're back, y'all. We're coming on back in, and we're going to pick up where we left off. All right, and let's see, we at chapter 8. Now, from what I understand, chapter 8 is the introduction of Rome. It's going to start being squeezed into the equation here. So that tells me that if the Grecian Empire lasted 350 years, that we are close to the tail end of their empire. That's when the Maccabees were doing their thing, right? Because for the most part of the Grecian Empire, they kind of left us alone. We were just paying them tribute, and we were going to live in our little lives in Jerusalem and whatnot. And all of a sudden, the Grecians just start tripping. They just started acting funny. and they wanted everybody to be on the same page, not just Jerusalem or Israel having their separate laws from everybody else. So they got tired of that, apparently. And so when they tried to change that is when this drama happened. And so that's where we're at. Now we're going to go into the chapter 8 and pick up there, okay? So, but just to do a recap on 7, all right, Lysias is no longer in the picture. And Antiochus' son, who's about 7 years old, he's no longer in the picture because a new sheriff is in town, I guess you could say. It was his brother. I forgot his name. Demetrius. So he came in there. Now he's ruling all of this area, right? And he's taking over everything. And the first thing he did was kill the child that was going to be king and whoever else that was in charge. Because it's all a big mess, right? And he's for the clean out. At least that's his plans. So even brought some big guys with him too. Okay, so here we go, chapter 8. Now Judas have heard of the Romans, that they were mighty and valiant men, and such as would lovingly accept all that joined themselves unto them, and make a league of amity with all that came unto them, and that they were men of great value. It was told him also of their wars and noble acts which they have done among the Galatians, and how they had conquered them and brought them under tribute, and what they have done in the country of Spain for the winning of the mines of the silver and gold which is there, and that by their policy and patience they have conquered all the place, though it were very far from them. And the kings also that came against them from the uttermost part of the earth till they had discomfited them and given them a great overthrow, so that the rest did give them tribute every year. Let me stop right there. So while all of this is going on, Judas Maccabeus, he hears that there's another rising power, right? And anybody that joins under them is a friend of Rome, right? And so Rome is doing, and they already done conquered Galatia, right? Which is, I want to say, is kind of in the Greek territory, you know? So now it makes sense what Demetrius is doing, all right? He's trying to fix this. He killed the other king that was there because he's looking at the huge picture here. What's going on. He's mad that he can see that the Greek Empire is slowly gonna, you know what I'm saying, be doomed. All because these guys, you know what I'm saying, got greedy, basically. So he's taking over trying to clean house because he's got to get himself prepared, I'm thinking, to go to war with Rome. You know what I'm saying? Before Rome get any bigger. You know what I'm saying? So here Rome is and already done won some battles in the area, and apparently they're a new powerhouse. Okay? All right, just wanted to be clear on where we at. Okay, let me get started. I'm in verse 5. Besides this, how they have discomfited in battle Philip and Persis, king of the Pithians, and others that lifted up themselves against them and had overcome them. How also Antiochus, the great king of Asia, that came against them in battle, having 120 elephants with horsemen and chariots and a very great army, was discomfited by them. Hold on. That right there just kind of took me for a loop. Because Antiochus, he had died when he tried to get the Persian army overtake them, and he was pushed back, and then he heard about the Maccabees, and he had got sick and died. So basically, he himself had an encounter with the Roman with the Romans before. Okay? And I guess is what it's saying here, that the Romans have beaten him before. Okay, all right. Yeah, so verse 7. And how they took him alive and coveted that he and such as reigned after him should pay a great tribute and give hostages and that which was agreed upon. And the country of India and Media and Lydia and of the goodliest countries which they took of him and gave to King Eumenes. Moreover, how the Grecians had determined to come and destroy them. Okay. And that they, having knowledge thereof, sent against them a certain captain, and fighting with them, slew many of them, and carried away captives, their wives and their children, and spoiled them, and took possessions of their lands, and pulled down their strongholds, and brought them to be servants unto this day. It was told him besides how they destroyed and brought under their dominion all other kingdoms and isles that at any time resisted them. But when their friends and such as relied upon them, they kept amenity, and that they had conquered kingdoms both far and nigh, insomuch as all that heard of their name were afraid of them. Also, that whom they would help to a kingdom, those reign, and whom again they displace. Finally, that they were greatly exalted. Okay. So whoever was friends with them, they stood in their place and reigned, and whoever like really, you know, whoever really, you know, was their friend or whatever, they was greatly exalted. Okay, to be very rich and stuff in the kingdom, I imagine. Okay, yet for all of this, none of them wore a crown or was clothed in purple to be magnified thereby. Moreover, how they had made for themselves a senate house, wherein 320 men sat in council daily, consulting always for the people, to the end they might be well ordered. And they that committed their government to one man every year, who ruled over all their countries, and that all were obedient to that one, and that there was neither envy or nor emulation among them. In consideration of these things, Judas chose Eupolemus, the son of John, the son of Achos, and Jason, the son of Eleazar, and sent them to Rome to make a league of amity and confederacy with them. Okay. 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 So, here you are. You got this this general, right, who killed the king, Lysias or whatever, Demetrius. He was the brother of Lycus, and he killed them, and he's trying to clean up house over here. Meanwhile, what we reading right now is all the things that Judas the Maccabees have heard, you know, and the things they know about Rome, this upcoming empire that has been conquering and they're a force to be reckoned with. And they have already bumped heads with Greece already. And the Greeks were losing battles against them. Okay? And they're talking about how they, and what they got going on is they got 320 governors, you know, or senators. And they counsel every day about the people and stuff like that. So they are well-informed. And they move, you know, with intelligence. You know what I'm saying? And I guess it was very impressive that Judas, seeing that the whole Greek Empire is going to fall on Jerusalem, he came up with the idea to send some messengers to Rome, and and tell Rome that Israel wants friends with Rome, okay, and put them under their protection, right, against these Grecian military that's forming right now. Okay, gotcha. Okay, that's where, okay, I'm putting it together. I'm learning, seeing what's going on myself, y'all. All right, so verse 18, and to entreat them that they would take the yoke from them, for they saw that the kingdom of the Grecians did oppress Israel with servitude. They went, therefore, to Rome, which was a very great journey, and came into the Senate, where they spake and said, Judas Maccabeus, with his brethren, and the people of the Jews, have sent us unto you to make a confederacy and peace with you, and that we might be registered your confederates and friends. So that matter please Romans well. And this is the copy of the epistle which the Senate wrote back again in tables of brass and sent to Jerusalem, that they might have by them a memorial of peace and confederacy. Good success be to the Romans and to the people of the Jews, by sea and by land forever. The sword also and the enemy be far from them. If there come first any war upon the Romans or any of their confederates throughout all their dominion, the people of the Jews shall help them, as the time shall be appointed with all their heart. Neither shall they give anything unto them that make war upon them, or aid them with victuals, weapons, money, or ships, as it have seemed good unto the Romans. But they shall keep their covenants without taking anything therefore. In the same manner also, if war come first upon the nation of the Jews, the Romans shall help them with all their heart, according as the time shall be appointed them. Neither shall victuals be given to them that take part against them, or weapons, or money, or ships, as it has seemed good to the Romans. But they shall keep their covenants, and that without deceit. According to these articles did the Romans make a covenant with the people of the Jews. Howbeit, hereafter the one party or the other shall think to meet to add or diminish anything, they may do it at their pleasure, and whatsoever they shall add or take away shall be ratified. And as touching the evil that Demetrius doeth to the Jews, we have written unto him, saying, wherefore thou made thy yoke heavy upon your friends and confederates, the Jews. If therefore they complain any more against thee, we will do them justice and fight with thee by sea and by land. Okay, so Rome done wrote Demetrius and told them, hey, man, why are you making it so hard on your people and your nation, man? You know, they telling me that, you know what I'm saying, you're going all hard against them, your own people. So if they tell me again that you know what I'm saying, you're acting up, bro, I'm going to come and, you know what I'm saying, we're going to have to box. Okay, basically. Basically. Right? So this seems like a good answer to Judas Maccabeus. He's like, yeah, so we're going to get rid of these Grecians. Yeah, they're going to go downhill now. Yeah, we got Rome for the fight with us too? Oh, yeah, it's over. Yeah, but, you know, we got to pay tribute to Rome afterwards. But I think Rome is a lot more intelligent. They got this council with 300 people, you know, senators and governors. And all they do is strategize about the people, and they got a lot of intelligence and stuff that they, you know, a lot better than these Greeks and how they're doing, you know. So, yeah. So they're going with the Romans, okay. But now that we read all chapter 8, let me turn on to see if you got anything to say, Brother Ronald. Let me open your mic, brother. What you think about
that
so
far,
man?
That verse 18 really hit me. Verse 18, it says, entreat. Read that again, verse 18.
Okay, verse 18 in chapter 8. Okay,
yeah.
And to entreat them that they would take the yoke from them, for they saw that the kingdom of the Grecians did oppress Israel with servitude.
The Greeks oppressed us too. The Greeks oppressed us too. We was in slavery to them too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what they. That's what. Yeah, that's what we're reading. We're reading. Basically, what they're telling Rome is that the Greeks are oppressing us, and can you help us?
Right.
Yeah, that's what they're saying to Rome.
They was asking Rome to help them.
Yeah.
Israel.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Maccabees. Uh huh. They're the ones who's running Jerusalem and stuff over here, and the Jews are asking help from the Romans to get rid of the Greeks.
Right. Okay.
Okay, sir. All right. So, yeah, that's where we at, man. And we're looking at it in hindsight.
All this taking place in Jerusalem, right? All this taking place in Jerusalem at this time, huh? You're reading right here, huh?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a lot of history. There's a lot of history in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So Judas and them is holding down Jerusalem, and they under attack by the government, you know, the Grecian government. And so they sent this letter to Rome to intervene in that because, you know, they couldn't fight against the whole power of Greece, you know. So, you know,
and that's where
it was leading up to. And that's what – it was a little idea that Judas kind of thought of, but I'm sure that was the last resort. I mean, if that was the case, he could have been reached out to Rome before he even lost 2,000-some men in battle and things like that, you know. So that kind of tells me that he didn't want to ask Rome for no help. But he must be in a bind right now that he got to ask Rome for help. Or everybody's going to die. You see what I'm saying?
Wow. Who was Judah? Who was he? Is he a Jew?
Who is Judas?
Yeah.
That's the Maccabees.
Yeah.
That's his name, Judas Maccabees.
Okay. Was he an Israelite?
Yeah.
He was? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was an Israelite.
Was he like in the army or something?
Okay, go ahead.
He like head of the, what was his position in Israel, in Jerusalem at the time?
He was just a farmer, and he rose up to be a general in the army.
Okay.
He was an everyday person that loved God's laws, and he decided to fight back. And he won a bunch of battles, man, against the Grecians. With of course, the Most High was behind him. And he won a bunch of battles, man, and he became like a general. And it's through his battles, man, that he was able to strategize and all of that type of stuff, man. He definitely probably learned a lot from his dad. His dad... it was the one that got it all started by killing one of the Grecians' guards. The guy that come to the town and wanted people to sacrifice pigs on their altars. His daddy killed one of those guys. So his daddy kind of got it started. And so, yeah, he just kind of rose up, man, willing to die for God's laws. And, you know, that's what happened, man. And so they started to fight back, and he became like a general through his wars, all the wars he done been through. Yeah, all the wars he'd have been through, he can strategize pretty doggone good.
All right. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. So. All right. So with that being said, man, let's go ahead and see if we can read chapter 9. All right. I'm gonna try to read all of chapter 9 before we end today, before we finish up. So let me go ahead and put you back on hold, and I'm gonna try to. We got 38 minutes left in the show. I'm gonna go ahead and try to read all of chapter 9. All right. All right, got you on hold. And let me read all of chapter 9, and we're going to try to go with another break, another song, and say our final thoughts about what we read today, and then we're going to end the show. All right? Furthermore, when Demetrius heard the Nicanor and his hosts were slain in battle, he sent Bacchides and Alphemius into the land of Judea the second time, and with them the chief strength of his host, who went forth by the way that leadeth to Galilee, and pitched their tents before Masala, which is in Arbela. And after they won it, they slew much people. Also the first month of the 152nd year, they encamped before Jerusalem, from whence they removed and went to Berea with 20,000 footmen and 2,000 horsemen. Now Judas had pitched his tent in Elisa, and 3,000 chosen men with him, who seeing the multitude of the other army to he so great were sore afraid, whereupon many conveyed themselves out of the host, insomuch as abode of them no more, but 800 men. When Judas therefore saw that his host slipped away, and that the battle pressed upon him, he was sore troubled in mind, and much distressed, for that he had no time to gather them together. Nevertheless, unto them they remained, he said, let us arise and go up against our enemies, if peradventure we may be able to fight with them. But they dehorted him, saying, we shall never be able. Let us now rather save our lives, and hereafter we will return with our brethren and fight against them, for we are but few. Then Judas said, God forbid that I should do this thing and flee away from them. If our time be come, let us die manfully for our brethren, and let us not stain our honor. With that, the host of the Bacchides removed out of their tents and stood over against them, the horsemen being divided into two troops, and their slingers and archers going before the host, and they that marched in the forward were all mighty men. As for Bacchides, he was in the right wing, so the host drew near on the two parts and sounded their trumpets. They also of Judah's side, even they sounded their trumpets also, so that the earth shook at the noise of the armies. And the battle continued from morning to light to night. Then when Judas perceived that Bacchides and the strength of his army were on the right side, he took with him all the hardy men who discomfited the right wing and pursued them unto the Mount Azotus. But when they of the left wing saw that they on the right wing were discomfited, they followed upon Judas and those that were with him hard at the heels from behind. Whereupon there was a sore battle, insomuch as many were slain on both parts. Judas also was killed, and the remnant fled. Then Jonathan and Simon took Judas, their brother, and buried him in the sepulchre of his fathers in Modin. Moreover, they bewailed him, and all of Israel made great lamentation for him, and mourned many days, saying, how is the valiant man fallen that delivered Israel? As for the other things concerning Judas and his wars and the noble acts which he did and his greatness, they are not written, for they were very many. Now after the death of Judas, the wicked began to put forth their heads in all the coasts of Israel, and there arose up all such as wrought iniquity. In those days also was there a very great famine, by reason whereof the country revolted and went with them. Then Bacchides chose the wicked men and made them lords of the country. And they made inquiry and search for Judah's friends and brought them unto Bacchides, who took vengeance of them and used them despitefully. So was there a great affliction in Israel, the like whereof was not since the time that a prophet was not seen among them. For this cause all Judah's friends came together and said unto Jonathan, since thy brother Judah died, we have no man like him to go forth against our enemies and Bacchides, and against them of our nation that are adversaries to us. Now, therefore, we have chosen thee this day to be our prince and captain in his stead, that thou mayest fight our battles. Upon this, Jonathan took the governance upon him at that time and rose up instead of his brother Judah. But when Bacchides got knowledge thereof, he sought for to slay him. Then Jonathan and Simeon his brother and all that were with him, perceiving that, fled into the wilderness of Thaco and pitched their tents by the water of the pool Aspar, which where Bacchides understood. He came near to Jordan with all his host upon the Sabbath day. Now Jonathan had sent his brother John, a captain of the people, to pray his friends, the Naphtalites, that they might leave with them their carriage, which was much. But the children of Jabari came out of the Medaba and took John and all that he had and went their way with it. After this came the word to Jonathan and Simeon, his brother, that the children of the Jabari made a great marriage and were bringing the bride from Nabata with a great train, as being the daughter of one of the great princes of Canaan. Therefore they remembered John their brother and went up and hid themselves under the covert under the mountain, where they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, there was much ado and great carriage, and the bridegroom came forth and his friends and brethren to meet them with drums and instruments of music and many weapons. And Jonathan and they that were with him rose up against them from the place where they lay in ambush and made a slaughter of them in such sort as many fell down dead, and the remnant fled into the mountain, and they took all their spoils. Thus was the marriage turned into mourning, and the noise of their melody into lamentation. So when they had avenged fully the blood of their brother, they turned again to the marsh of Jordan. Now when Bacchides heard hereof, he came on the Sabbath day unto the banks of the Jordan with a great power. Then Jonathan said to his company, let us go up now and fight for our lives, for it standeth not with us today, as in time past. For behold, the battle is before us and behind us, and the water of the Jordan is on the side and that side, the marsh likewise with wood. Neither is there a place for us to turn aside. Wherefore cry, yea, now unto heaven, that ye may be delivered from the hand of your enemies. So they got water on one side, and they got marshlands on the other, and the enemies on the front of them and the back of them. So they're in a bind right now. Okay, 47. With that, they joined battle. And Jonathan stretched forth his hand to smite Bacchides, but he turned back from him. Then Jonathan and they that were with him leaped into Jordan and swam over unto other bank, howbeit they overpassed not over the Jordan unto them. So there was slain of Bacchides' side that day about 1,000 men. Afterward returned Bacchides to Jerusalem and repaired the strong cities in Judea, the fort in Jericho, and Emos, and Bethron, and Bethel, and Phamatha, and Pharathoni, and Taphon. These did he strengthen with high walls, with gates and bars. And in them he set a garrison that they might work malice upon Israel. He fortified also the city of Bethsura and Gazara,
and the tower and put forces in them and provisions of visuals, victuals. Besides, he took the chief's men's sons in the country for hostages and put them into the tower at Jerusalem to be kept. Moreover, in the 153rd year, in the second month, Aclemius commanded that the wall of the inner court of the sanctuary should be pulled down. He pulled down also the works of the prophets. And as he began to pull down, even at that time was Aclemius plagued and his enterprises hindered, for his mouth was stopped and he was taken with a palsy, so that he could no more speak anything nor give order concerning his house. So Aclemius died at that time with great torment. Now when Bacchidius saw that Aclemius was dead, he returned to the king, whereupon the land of Judea was in rest 2 years. Then all the ungodly men held a council, saying, "Behold, Jonathan and his company are at ease and dwell without care. Now, therefore, we will bring Bacchidius hither. We shall take them all in one night." So they went and consulted with him. Then removed he and came with a great host and sent letters privily to his adherents in Judea that they should take Jonathan. Okay. That they should take Jonathan and those that were with him. Howbeit, they could not, because their counsel was known unto them. Wherefore they took of the men of the country that were authors of that mischief about 50 persons and slew them. So 50 persons that probably told of what their plot is. Okay. At 62. Afterward, Jonathan and Simeon and they that were with him got them away to Bethsabatha, Bethbasi, which is in the wilderness. And they repaired the decays thereof and made it strong. Which being when Bacchidas knew, he gathered together all his hosts and sent word to them that were of Judea. Then went he and laid siege against Bethbasi, and they fought against it a long season and made engines of war. But Jonathan left his brother Simeon in the city and went forth himself into the country, and with a certain number went he forth. And he smote Odarkis, and his brethren, and the children of Pharisan in their tent. And when he began to smite them, he came up with his forces. Simeon and his company went out of the city and burned up the engines of war and fought against Bacchidas, who was discomforted by him. And they afflicted him sore, for his counsel and travail was in vain. Wherefore he was very wroth at the wicked men that gave him counsel to come into the country, insomuch as he slew many of them and proposed to return into his own country. Whereof, when Jonathan had knowledge, he sent ambassadors unto him, to the end he should make peace with him and deliver them the prisoners, which thing he accepted and did according to his demands, and swore unto him that he would never do him harm all the days of his life. When therefore he had restored unto him the prisoners that he had taken aforetime out of the land of Judea, he returned and went his way into his own land. Neither came he any more into their borders. Thus the sword ceased from Israel. But Jonathan dwelt at Michmash and began to govern the people. And he destroyed the ungodly men out of Israel. That's chapter 9 right there. All right, let me open up your mic. What you think about that, man?
That was interesting. That was
Yeah. So basically there was a huge, I think this guy was, he was a pretty big boss type of individual. Bacchidas, whatever his name is. Hey, forgive me for not being able to say these names, y'all. I'm trying, man. Anyway, So they were able to. Hello?
Was they fighting against the Christians? Were they fighting against the Christians?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so anyway, this guy right here, he was definitely, you know, making trouble for Israel. And as you can see, that Judas Maccabeus, he died in battle, you know what I'm saying, fighting with him. And he showed up with I can't even think of his name. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to just call him the tyrant. The tyrant came through with a whole huge army, and the men of Israel got scared, man, and they ran for their lives. So Judas was only probably 600 men. He said, let us die right now as men. You know what I'm saying? Manfully. I ain't finna run. You know, I'm ready to fight, I dog it. You know what I'm saying? And so even the 600 people that was with him was saying, man, this is insane, man. We can't beat that many people, right? So they still went into battle, man. And as they went into battle, they was raising some hell, man. You know what I'm saying? They was doing their thing until they, you know, the army surrounded them, and Judas ended up dying, and the rest kind of ran for their lives. So,
wow.
Now it's just the baby brothers in charge, Simeon and okay, what's the other guy, other brother name? Hold on. Jonathan and Simeon.
Yeah.
And they had another baby brother. I forget his name. Hold on. They had another baby brother, and they kind of left him behind as they do their thing, right? But he was involved. It's just, you know, he wasn't. Okay, gotcha. They had a baby brother named John. Okay, so John was kind of packing up their stuff inside of a wagon or something, and some Canaanite guys came in and killed them and robbed them. All the food and gold and silver that John had in his wagon. I know it sounds like some gang banging type of stuff, don't it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's gang banging, right? Yeah, so the Canaanites popped up out of nowhere, and they jacked John, and they shot him dead. They killed him, right? And they stole everything he had. And so when Simeon and Jonathan heard about what happened to their brother John, you know, there they is. They mad as all get out. And the word around town is that the Canaanites did it. Now, they already fighting against, you know what I'm saying, the Grecian army. But as you can see, everybody expected Israel to lose, right? So you got people of other nations, just ungodly men, people of other nations jumping in trying to, you know, steal what they can and make a name for themselves and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So Simeon and Jonathan, they went into their territory, the Canaanite territory, and they seen that there was a marriage taking place, right? And they seen the bridegroom, and they looked at the food and silver and gold that they had, that this was a Canaanite prince that's getting married. So they were like, oh, hell, these are probably the folks that shot my brother, you know what I'm saying? So they went there and killed everybody in the marriage. Okay?
Wow.
They killed all that they could. You know what I'm saying? And they stole their food and their gold and everything else. So the marriage turned into a mourning. You see what I'm saying? Because the Canaanites, they just felt like, trying to steal and trying to make a name for themselves. Yeah, so anyway, that right there happened. So the Israelites, they taking these hits left and right, man. And basically, that's basically all of chapter 9 on how they lost Judas and they lost their baby brother John. And right now they, they finally defeated that tyrant that was working with the Grecians. And they beat him so bad that he said he was going to leave Judea and go back to his homeland, right? I don't know where his homeland was, yeah. But I'm thinking it's like in India or something, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, I'm going to go back that way, you feel me? And and so they made agreement if he released his prisoners, they'll let him, you know, leave freely. And so he left that whole land freely, and he never crossed the border ever again.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm thinking he was definitely from, like, India or somewhere like that. You feel me? All right. And that concludes chapter 9. So I guess this Thursday we'll pick up in chapter 10. And, I hope you're interested in it, brother, because I'm trying to read all of the first Maccabees and read the second Maccabees and, learn all I can about Israelite history. And I'm glad that you're here, man.
So,
was the Grecians
in charge of Jerusalem at the time? Were they in charge?
Yes, they in charge.
They were? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this is...
Okay.
All of this that we're reading is all about the Grecians. It's all about the Greeks. They are the number one superpower in the world at this time.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it still
the
is.
Greeks
it still
were
is.
The number
it's
one. Like... No, the Romans basically is the number one superpower.
Yeah, Romans is super more power now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
yeah,
this is about the Greeks.
That's good.
But I know
that's
what you're
good.
Saying, though. I know what you're saying. The Greeks and the Romans are the same thing. And in a lot of ways,
people,
you're right. Yeah, a lot of ways,
right.
You're right. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But they do speak different languages. And but I think they got the same ancestry. You know what I'm saying? It's leading up to be about the same folks. And but I don't want you to also forget about the Grecians. Esau descendant, he went over in Greece, Chittim. Well, I guess you could say Chittim is where Rome started their stuff right there, right? And but still, these Greeks, Esau was a part of these Greeks as well. And, hold on. No, Esau was part of this Greek empire. Alexander the Great is a descendant from, I want to say, the Edomites. You know what I'm saying? Because when Esau's grandson became king of Greece, of the Grecians, Alexander the Great came from that king bloodline. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So. I just don't think Alexander the Great had any kids though.
I don't think he did either. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he had any kids. But I think he did have cousins or something like that. I know the bloodline's still there in Greece. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that bloodline is still there. Go ahead.
So the white folks that we see right now are Romans, right? Right. The one that's running the world right now. They're Romans, right?
Oh, well, what we're looking at today, can you hear me pretty good?
Can
you hear me? Okay.
Yeah,
what we're looking at today
is the Greek Empire, Roman Empire, and all merged in together, man. That's what we're seeing today. Like one white person, when you look at them real good, you might be like, okay, he's probably from the Greek part of the world right there. And another white person, you can like, oh, okay, I can see he's more, he got dark hair. You know what I'm saying? Dark hair and, nose and forehead shaped a certain way. You're going to be like, okay, he's part of Romans or something. But then again, you might see some white folks who seem like they're more Russia or more Viking type of stuff, you know? Because lot has went down since this time period, man. And a lot of those European nations came under one banner, you know? That's what we're reading here on Rome is going to connect a lot of those Caucasian territories because they didn't see themselves as brothers, by the way. You know what I'm saying? So, it wasn't white supremacy wasn't what's going on right now. As you can see by the people who run into the king, wicked Israelites, it was a multicultural place, even under the Greek rule. And the Grecians had colleges, you know, like the education and things like that Israelites partaking, you know. What we're reading is about the ones who rebelled against all that. That's like Greek fraternity, you know, Greek fraternity.
Yeah.
Just like today, brother. It's just the only thing is we don't know who we are, so everything, that's what makes this right here different. They wanted to change these people's culture.
That's where the black folks get their fraternity from the white folks, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh for sure. Everything about us. We got it from the Caucasians. Everything about us. Much that people outside of America, like let's say Africa, they look at black Americans like we are white people. You know what I'm saying? They don't look at us like we're different from white people because they say we think just like white people. You know?
Right.
We think just like them. And we talk like them, and we act like them. But we say, no, hell no, we're two different people. But when you go outside of the country, they say that we act just like them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, you know, it's one of those type of things. Yeah, it's one of those type of things. So I want to kind of hit on this Esau thing, too. Because you got a lot of different camps. Well, maybe you too. I'm not sure. But a lot of people feel like all white people are the Edomites.
And No, they're not.
Yeah. There's all white people are Edomites. You know, they put them all under that umbrella. And what we're reading here is. Basically, somebody's going to come up with the idea, because you're white, we're going to be brothers. And they all going to shake hands. And that's how white supremacy is going to be born. You see what I'm saying? But in reality, they come from different ancestors. You feel me? Now, it might all still lead up to the same ancestor, but... They come from different places. Some of them are literally from Japheth. I would say majority of them from the Japheth lineage. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm really am thinking that some of them come from an Asian Asian type of background. You see what I'm saying? Like a turkey. You know, the not quite like Russia, but Vikings and all of that. That I think that they're a whole other type of person than Great Britain. You feel me?
Yeah.
Why you, I think it's not. I don't think it's all that good to put them all under one umbrella. You see what I'm saying? But one thing we kind of understood, that the Edomites, they pretty much is Caucasian in appearance, right? But I just don't think all Caucasians are Edomites. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, we don't know who we're talking to when we talk to them.
Yeah.
And you know
different
all
nationalities are, different nationalities.
Yeah, because everybody that's black are not Israelites.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Everybody that's black is not Israelite. And so if that goes for us, it goes for everybody else. So that's just, I think they're just not putting much thought into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're not using common sense. You know what I'm saying?
Right on.
Yeah,
so with common that sense. Being said, brother, I want to go ahead and play a song. A song that kind of, we're going to end it with this song. And I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of the best song for the moment. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and play Lightbulb. Just reading in the book of Maccabees, I think is turning on that light bulb in our minds, man. The where we can see that they'd rather die, man. They'd rather let the Greek forces kill them before they let before they eat some pigs or pork. You feel me? Before they worship a whole other god. Before they abandon God's laws, they'd rather be killed, right? And it's that type of faith, that type of commitment is what we ought to be seeking for, man, for our God. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the type of faith that we need to have, man. And it's that type of faith that Christ was teaching his disciples. Because when you look at it, his disciples, they was the same way, right? They were willing to die for what they believed in.
Exactly, yeah.
Although they wasn't like the Maccabees picking up a sword, going to war with people. Instead, they wanted to fight for folks' souls, you know what I'm saying, and bring in the gospel. But it's the same thing. It's still there. We got to be willing to die. You know what I'm saying? Be willing to die. Be a martyr for God. So that's something to think about right there. And I think the song that best represents that, man, I want to say that light bulb, man. Yeah. I'm going to play that. And shalom to you, Brother Ronald. I hope you able to join us again this Thursday at 5:00. And I'm going to end it with this song, man, and we're just going to keep the clothes on out.
Okay, shalom.
All right, shalom to you, brother. Thanks for tuning in. All right. All right, y'all, here we go.
Hey. Barak Yahuwah. I know this walk ain't popular, but we follow where your light goes. I know with you nothing impossible, connected to my armor room, shining like a light bulb. Hey, I know this walk ain't popular, but I follow where your light goes. I know with you nothing impossible, connected to my armor room, shining like a light bulb. I know this walk ain't popular, but I follow where your light goes. I know with you nothing impossible, connected to my album room, shining like a light bulb.
yeah, yeah. Shining like a light bulb. To the Abba, the energy within my blood. Fascinated with Abba, wonders that life hold. I'm your creation, your breath of life in my vitals. These are not my words that will invest or recycle. Given by my Abba, inspired like his disciples. I'd rather walk humble than politic with the prideful. My riches stored in heaven, I tell you, put down your idols. This simple man advised it was simply nothing to gain it. Wake up from this madness, the world will soon be a wasteland. It seemed like most are stuck, so it's hard for them to awaken. But those who did, that's awesome, the kingdom's theirs for the taking. Pray for those who labor amongst you, you're feeling great when to see them get their crown, cause they labored and do what they chasing. Now maybe that's the reason you see is his celebration. They're feeling so surreal, but for now we just being patient. I know this walk ain't popular, but I follow where your light goes. I know what you, nothing impossible, connected to my armor, bro, shining like a light bulb. I know this walk ain't popular, but I follow where your light goes. I know what you, nothing impossible, connected to my armor, bro, shining like a light bulb. I said we shining like a light bulb. I said we shining like a light bulb. I know it's you, nothing impossible, connected to my armor, bro, shining like a light bulb. Hey. I said we shining like a light bulb. I said we shining like a light bulb. I know it's you, nothing impossible, connected to my armor, bro, shining like a light bulb. Hey, look, I'm traveling on the narrow. Yahuwah eyes on me, just like the sparrow. Left up out of Egypt, through the deuces of the Pharaoh. Left them in the Red Sea, I'm in the ark with my soul. Roll, roll, roll your boat down the night stream. Life is just a dream for only those who live in sleep. Please, don't look at me and think to walk easy. Please, 7 times I failed, but he kept me breathing. I wanna be on the side with the righteous. In the dark room, you want my light switch, yeah, yeah. Let your Ruah be my guide. Let your wisdom be my eyes. Tell me why, don't let me slide. Be a sword when I fight, yeah. Cause I can't do this all alone, no. Pray I'm with the 144, yeah. I know this walk ain't popular, but I follow where your light goes. I know what you, nothing impossible, connected to my armor, bro, shining like a light bulb. I know this walk ain't popular, but I follow where your light goes. I know what you, nothing impossible, connected to my armor, bro, shining like a light bulb. Said we shining like a light bulb. I said we shining like a light bulb. I know it's you, nothing impossible, connected to my armor, bro, shining like a light bulb. I said we shining like a light bulb. I said we shining like a light bulb. I know it's you, nothing impossible, connected to my armor, bro, shining like a light bulb. Yeah, yeah, heavenly treasures what we get back. Working for his harvest, work more than royalty kickback. I know you begged it difficult, but we can save all the shit check. Cause only thing that matters is dwelling where I was just at. Stuck up in your lane, so it's hard for you to admit that. I'm stuck up in my lane too, praying for positive impact. Praying for the widows, the fatherless, and the riffraffs. I'm praying that these words will infiltrate where you live at. Hit the four corners and speak life to the nations. We be few in numbers, but asking how but to use me, see. Focus on the spiritual, filthy lucre or dead end. You should my salvation, it gives life to my brethren. Therefore, let your light shine, we connected with like minds. This music is a reminder to hold on to Abba lifeline. And life finds obedient vessels all in the right time. To the Abba, you encourage my soul to let my light shine. I know this walk ain't popular, but I follow where your light goes. I know it's you, nothing impossible, connected to my Abba, bro, shining like a light bulb. I know this walk ain't popular, but I follow where your light goes. I know it's you, nothing impossible, connected to my Abba, bro, shining like a light bulb.
Light bulb.
I know this walk ain't popular, but we follow where your light goes. I know it's you, nothing impossible, connected to my Abba road, shining like a light bulb.